Mr. Paul Mooney.
I like it like this. All the minorities. White folks, it's okay that you came too. The brave white people came. Because, you know, white folks are sensitive. They're like little white rabbits. They'll get the fuck out of a place. You know that. It's cold. It's cold. It's cold. Then you got them ballsy white people. That nigger doesn't intimidate me. I'll stay till the sun rises. We'll see if this is a nigger vampire. Look at this white woman. Don't stare at me like this. This white lady, look how you're looking at me. I have jungle eyes. I don't miss shit. You are staring at me like I've landed from the planet Nigger Taurus. You should see your face. It's funny, but I like it. I like it. It's very nice. You're very pretty, and it's very nice. It's very pleasant. And he gonna kick your ass. Looking at that nigger. Maybe you a nigger. I don't want anybody white to be offended by me. Don't be offended. My parents are white. Please relax. And I have to keep you here long enough for my nigger friends to steal your cars, so we'll be here for a minute. Listen, you do the jokes, we'll get the rides. Now it's another white man. You guys, you know what I'm going to tell you? You guys tickle me. I'm going to explain something to you. See, I watch a white audience. I study them. And black performers, white people, they talk about Chinese, they talk about Mexicans, they talk about Indians, they talk about everybody. And you guys, your language, your thing, you're into it. Because I study, you're just laughing like you stare, and you just laugh. You have no sense of humor on you. You just, your whole body, you're into it. But the minute you talk about white folks, that bullshit just... That nigger. Stop saying nigger. I'm getting a nigger headache. I can't tell. Make the nigger stop saying nigger. White folks made up nigger and don't want me to say it. Ain't that a bitch? You made it up. You shouldn't have made it up. You fucked up. You shouldn't have made up nigger. And you made up a song to go with it. Please don't make me sing the song. Eeny, meeny, miny. You know the goddamn song I'm talking about. And you change the words when you see black folks. Catch a tiger. Have they gone? Hey, so you fucked up. I say nigga all the time. I say nigga 100 times every morning. It makes my teeth white. Nigga, 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 nigga. I say it, you think it, what a small white world. But you don't have any problem saying Arnold Schwarzenegger. I may not know about the space program, but I know nigger when I hear it. You guys love saying his name. Schwarzenegger. Oh, Arnold nigger. Oh, Mr. Nigger. Schwarzenegger. I didn't say it. I was hoping he'd marry Shirley Temple Black and she'd be Mrs. Shirley Temple Black nigger, but it didn't work out that way. Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's the only white man to make a movie that scared the fuck out of me. Terminator, that shit scared me. I had nightmares for 6 months. A white man that wouldn't die, that fucked me up. I threw my knife at the screen. Stab that motherfucker! Stab him!
Oh, and there was a little comedy from War Radio. That's Paul Mooney. He's a funny nigger, I'll tell you that. Yeah. He's not real popular because he goes around saying, nigga, 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 nigga. This is War Radio. War Radio calling, P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 92088. Our big website and our repository for all these radio shows is resist.com. And we file our updates, our daily updates, and sometimes every couple of days updates on that website. But what I do is take the best out of several and put them together, and we put them up there for one a week. But if you'd like to get them every day or every other day, then you're going to have to get on your computer and subscribe to our email e-zine. And all you have to do is send us an email and say subscribe. There's no charge to it. How about that? All you guys that like the freebies. And our email address, of course, is warmetzger@sbcglobal.net. Our big newspaper, putting a new issue together right now, is $30 a year for 12 issues in the USA, $40 in Soviet Kanukistan, that's Canada, and $50 in all other countries, and please pay in U.S. dollars only. Yes, sirree. I have taken a few euros in, but it's much easier for me to take the dollars in. And we're going to be expanding our number of radio shows, the way it looks, and hopefully we're going to be able to put up most of our old shows. You know, we've been doing radio shows now for a year or so. It seems like such a short time, but we've got so many shows, and most of you haven't even heard but a fraction of them, so that will be good if we can do that, but we had to get some more web space. Now, our 24-hour radio show line is 760-723-8996. So if you have a friend who doesn't have a computer but like to hear the radio show, they can get it on the telephone, and you can even leave a message. However, unfortunately, once in a while we get somebody on there who likes to run our tape out, but you'll have 1 minute to talk, and then we may use your comments on the radio show. So call in, let us know what you think. We also are going to try to be putting back up on the website more of the videos that you like so much. So stay tuned for that, too. Now, if you'll send us a $3 cash donation, we'll send you a copy of the most recent war newspaper that's filled with our products, our videotapes, audio tapes, books, and so forth, rings, pendants, and so forth in there also. So you can look that over, and if you like that, and I know you will because it's very hateful, you can subscribe to the paper or simply order the material, or you can download an order blank from the website, and you can pay by PayPal. Well, I see by the clock it's about time for the Dr. Wyatt Kallenberg, the Doctor of Truth, to be moving into the studio. And I know Jerry the Jew always gets excited about this. He doesn't like it. Oh, no, we're not going to stop it. The doctor's on his way. No, we're not going to stop it, Jerry. Get back in that cage and shut your mouth. So without further ado, here is the Doctor of Truth. And Tommy always says, what is truth?
So I see you're stealing my favorite white man's line.
What's that?
Pontius Pilate, what is truth?
Yeah, well, that's...
He looks at the faggot Jesus and he goes, hey, faggot, what the fuck's truth?
Wait a minute, but that's my line because you're the one. You say you're the doctor of truth,
absolute
right?
Absolute truth.
Absolute truth? Uh-huh. Well, there is no absolute truth.
Exactly.
But when I that's why I say, what is truth? I'm the pilot.
That's... And I'm Christ. Oh, yeah, I can relate
well,
to that.
Well, get me my goddamn
Except
hammer.
Christ was a yid.
Give me the hammer and nails. And
Christ
I'll,
was a yid that never
I'm
existed.
I'm going to get you up on the wall here, man. So what's happening anyhow?
Well, the governor's
What's happening
raised,
in your life?
My life?
Yeah.
All kinds of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. Okay.
All kinds of
stuff. Hey, you seen any good movies lately?
No, I haven't. I heard you saw with the Open Range.
Open Range. Hey, boys, that's a good movie. That is a good movie with...
Kevin Costner.
Well, normally I don't like Kevin Costner, but since he's been playing more badass roles,
uh-huh.
I like him better.
Yeah.
When he plays a liberal, white liberal role,
yeah.
I hate his guts.
Yeah.
But somehow, you know, he's got a sort of a weak voice, for,
yeah.
you know. But so Gary Cooper didn't have a strong voice either, as I can remember.
Well, he was funny in Robin Hood. You ever see Robin Hood?
Yeah.
That he did?
Yeah.
Where he couldn't even do an English accent. He just talked with a Midwestern accent. Everybody
yeah.
else had English accents except him.
Yeah. Well, anyhow, Kevin Costner directed this thing, and I thought it was really good. And I think we need more Westerns.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know what the big cowboy push was? That was mostly these Confederate soldiers.
Oh, yeah.
Who left the South after the war and went west.
Yeah.
And so almost all of these guys were rebels.
Yeah.
And they just wanted to be left alone.
Yes.
And Robert Duvall, he plays a hell of a good part. Boy, there's a lot of things they say in there. It's things I've said before.
Oh, really?
And
like racial things? Or
well, not so much racial, but just good old colloquial things, you know, that you've heard your grandpa say and stuff like that. And when they went into town to confront those bastards, that was the funniest scene I ever seen. There's about seven of them coming at them. They're all armed to the teeth. And there's only two of these guys.
Uh-huh.
And the first scene is so cool, man, you know. Like We don't fuck around, yeah. You know. Anyhow, I give that 5 flaming swastikas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I recommend that. And, of course, I'm one of the great movies I really like, and I watch it every once in a while, is Outlaw Josey Wales.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I like those kinds of movies. In fact, I think Outlaw Josey Wales is one of the best westerns ever made. But you got to get Once Upon a Time in the West, Henry Fonda. Good. That was a great movie. Yeah, I like a good western. I like them where they show bad guys be really bad and good guys to be pretty bad, too. But they're sort of lovable bad guys.
Yeah
man. Yeah, what else? What's cooking?
Oh, I saw Osmosis Jones on TV, HBO. That's
what the hell is
that? That was pretty much a piece of garbage. It was with Bill Murray. I like Bill Murray, so I watched that. But then it was basically a cartoon with Chris Rock. I like Chris Rock. But he was, it was just pretty terrible.
That nigger been screwing that white girl.
Chris Rock?
Married to a white gal. What was her name?
Chris Rock was?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Some good-looking white chick. Wasn't he? Yeah, he got hooked up with Pamela Anderson.
Oh, no, not Chris Rock.
Well, it was one of those white bitches, because I heard him talking about it on Howard Stern, you know? And, of course, Howard would never lie.
Well, cool. Pamela Anderson has hepatitis C, so if they did hook up.
Maybe she's working for us.
Maybe she's a gorilla.
She wanted to give it to Chris Rock, maybe. But he was one of those.
Kid Rock. Kid Rock is who you're probably thinking of. Kid Rock.
Well,
Rock is a white guy with long hair. Chris Rock is a nigger. Kid Rock is a white guy.
Well, that nigger comedian was with some white babe. I don't know what white babe it was, but anyhow. Well, anyhow, Osmosis Jones.
Yeah, it was a pretty crappy movie.
Is that better than Donald Duck?
No. Donald Duck's a classic.
Yeah,
Donald Duck is good stuff. Yeah, I was reading in the book, speaking of Disney Corporation, that, you know, Colonel Gale, that identity minister?
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine before he died.
It said in there that one of his daughters was one of the original Mouseketeers.
You know, I never heard that, and, you know, he never mentioned that to me. I knew him for years.
You know, when I was a little kid, the first crush I ever got, I think I fell in love with every one of the female Mouseketeers. You got Anita... Annette Funicello.
Right.
And Connie and all those other, Doreen.
Yeah.
So I was going through my head, now, which one was Colonel Gale's daughter?
Yeah, we're going to have to dig out
some. I mean, when I was in kindergarten, that was my first crush, I think, was Annette Funicello.
We're going to have to dig out some old film here.
Oh, yeah,
Look at that. Yeah, well, you were going to say something about the Western movies.
You know, my grandma's fifth cousin was a cowboy. He used to ride cattle through Palm Springs when there was just nothing but a water hole. There's
God, what a
there.
Job.
Oh, yeah, this is like at the turn of the century, a long time ago.
Can you imagine 120
oh,
degrees?
Oh, yeah. Like, he was a French-Canadian. His name was LeClaire. And anyway, he used to have all these bizarre sayings like, suck egg mule, and it's hot enough to bake the balls off the lizard. All these old cowboy sayings. And some of them were just pretty bizarre.
Busier than a hog on ice.
Yeah.
Colder than a well digger's heel.
Worthless as tits on a boar hog. That was
I use that all the time. Yeah.
Suck egg mule. He used to say it all the time, and I picked it up. And my mom said, "Stop your swearing!" You know, I said, "Suck egg mule." How in the hell? It doesn't even make any sense. You know.
Well, kids today wouldn't know about this.
Oh yeah.
But you know, busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Oh yeah.
Of course, I guess some of the rich bitches now do hang paper again.
Yeah.
Have somebody come in and do it. Back when I was a kid, we did it because that's the only thing we could put up on the walls, you know. Otherwise, it'd just be old wallboard, you know. Busier than a one-armed paper hanger.
Like, although, like, they got phrases, too. Like, if you get to be a man, they'd always say stuff like cowboy up. You know, cowboy up was stop being a pussy and be a man.
Yeah, I never heard that one. Yeah, well, we didn't have too many cowboys, even though we had a lot of cows.
Yeah.
Back in Indiana.
Oh, he used to make his own beef jerky, and he needs to, like, you know, pepper and stuff really hot and stuff.
Well, he was a real cowboy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and he had a garden, and he had all these tin plates, and he'd make these elaborate a machine that would, every time the wind had hit it would flip around and scare the birds away.
Wow.
He was a character.
Well, you know, we were, all the stuff we said on last week's show about Arnold Schwarzenegger and all that stuff, well, it ended up on the internet getting around quite a bit.
Oh, the guy who told me that, I just remembered it was Dick Rogers. He was the one that told me that he went over there and gave, you know, he was handing out Nazi literature, and Arnold saw him, and he ran across the street, and he's really interested in the nigger stuff, but he didn't want the anti-Jewish stuff.
Yeah.
And he looked at the nigger stuff, and he just started, it was some Rockwell stuff, I think it was, and he started cracking up and stuff, the nigger cartoons. He goes, oh, that's great. I like that shit. I like the shit about blacks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Dick Rogers had been in a Nazi movement for a long time. He was a sort of a small contractor from out in West L.A. someplace. And he was a good man. He hardly didn't say hardly anything, but he was always show up at these things.
Yeah.
Well, the one time when the Nazis were going to go down and demonstrate in front of the Academy Awards, and I told Dick, I said, don't go down there.
That was a John Hart deal.
Yeah, that was that phony L.A.
Stanley Whittick.
Cop snitch from L.A. set that up with that phony Nazi party thing. And he led this few guys down there in the middle of thousands of Jews, and not so much the Jews, but the damn cops and everybody. And there's a riot, and he got his head beat in.
Yeah, he had a U in his head where they hit him with a baseball.
He was never right after that.
Yeah.
But he told us this about Schwarzenegger years before. And there's other people who can verify that, sure. And like I said on the internet, I said, well, I know that Duke was going to Schwarzenegger's house because he stood only two feet from me when he was talking to him on my telephone.
Yeah.
So there's no doubt about that either. Of course, they can call me a liar, but I don't care. Look, there's a poll going around about what issues with Schwarzenegger you agree with or don't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
And the most significant one was they were asking him about, you know, what do you think about his father being a Nazi? Would you vote for him, blah, blah, blah. 10% said this, 20% said that. And there was 1% said, I would vote for him because his father was a Nazi.
Yeah, that's the reason they're voting for him, because his dad was a Nazi.
Now, that must drive the Jews.
Oh, yeah.
1%, if 1% of the California population would vote for Arnold Schwarzenegger because his dad was a member of the Nazi Party, that's a very significant...
Oh, yeah, considering in a shithole like California where whites are a minority now. So
unfortunately, Arnold, or fortunately, I don't know. Anyhow, this is going to be the end of the Republican Party out here. And the only way the Republican Party can win after this is to pretend they're all Democrats.
Oh, they already are. That most Republicans don't even know the difference between Republican and democracy.
The Republicans today would be called communists 40 years ago. Even when Kennedy ran. Back then, we thought he was a bad guy. But hell, I mean,
they call Kennedy a fascist now.
Yeah, right. And so it's terrible. But Arnold has brought in every left-wing Democrat he can get a hold of.
Yeah.
And then he brought in Rob Lowe. Now, what the hell would he do with Rob Lowe?
Yeah.
All he's known for is banging underage girls.
Yeah, girls, yeah.
Now, I think he's developing into a pretty good actor because he got a new series because he's gotten out of that kid stuff and now he's... He's a legitimate actor, but what the hell is he going to do for the campaign?
Mm-hmm. It's like Warren Buffett. They got Warren Buffett as an economic advisor. I was telling you, Warren Buffett, he made his fame through buying a value stock, and his big thing is that before he was even a stockbroker, that he got all his friends and families, he told them he was going to invest the money, and he invested their money, and he kept 10% of it for himself, and that's how he started his fortune. Now he's like, what is he?
You can't knock him for that.
Yeah.
I mean,
but the thing is,
if you had somebody in your family that was really good and they could collect all the money, that's the way the Chinese do it.
But I mean, the thing is, for to be an economic advisor of the state of California, if the state of California wants to buy value stock, they've got some good advisors, but what good is he that he's never ran a government?
No, he just buys
stock.
Now somebody said he was saying he didn't say that. Well, it was right on the
about raising the property taxes.
Property taxes, boy, you should have heard the right wing conservative, all these phony right wing conservative radio shows. I can't stand it, but boy, the minute they said raise the property taxes, they went nuts.
Well, that's what they did. He was leading the polls, and then Buffett said that about raising the taxes, and he dropped down. What, Bustamante?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a lieutenant governor, and he's like a Mexican racist. And
Cruz Bustamante.
Yeah, he hates Gray Davies and stuff.
Well, they hate each other.
I mean, the big thing, though, you go on his website, his big thing is that he did this and that for Mexico. He opened the door for Mexico. He started a university exchange program with the guy is more of a lieutenant governor of Mexico.
But he's about to make a bad mistake. Mm-hmm. He was going to go on today, I think it was, and tell his economic role. Now, whoever's running should not tell what their economic plan is. Yeah. Because...
Oh, you mean Schwarzenegger?
No, Bustamante was going to tell what his economic plan. Now, the economic plan has to be to raise taxes.
Yeah.
And he should say, don't worry about it, I'm going to take care of it. Now, if I was Cruz Bustamante, I would have come out and said, I appreciate everything this wonderful land has given me. My parents were immigrants. They were down in the muck and the mire, weeding the mint and picking the corn or whatever. And this is the greatest opportunity. And I love America. And that's all he'd have to say. That's all he'd have to say. Now, on the underground, with all these Mexicans, that word passes right down the grapevine.
Yeah.
Mexican. They don't give a shit whether what party he's in. They don't care what church he goes to. They're going to vote blood.
Yeah.
So here you got, like I said before, you got the Republicans all split up, and basically white people all split up, the white liberals, the white conservatives. None of them would say anything if their ass was on fire about race, you know. But, you know, the one, so in comes Cruz Bustamante. I think this is the way it's been set up. I think that Schwarzenegger is a shill in this whole operation. Everything he's doing is hurting himself. I don't understand why he's even running. He's got everything to lose, nothing to gain.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a hope in hell he could win because the Republicans are outvoted all over the place in his state. Now, they're going to get these Mexican wetbacks voting by postcard, vote once, and vote often, like in Chicago back in the old days. Mm-hmm. And they have no control over this postcard registration and all that kind of stuff. So here's my theory. They're setting up Cruz Bustamante. They're spreading the word among all the Mexicans to vote for him, the whole bit. And all these Mexican groups are behind the scenes going around, knocking on all our doors, saying, we got a Mexican about that, and we're going to get our first Mexican governor.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Now, I'm going to tell you how it could be turned around.
How's that?
Very simply. But it takes balls, of which the Terminator don't have as big of balls as he does in the movies, okay? All he has to do is say, I voted for 187, and the problem with California's deficit is wetbacks. And I'm telling you, I'm telling Bush, that if he don't take care of the border, the state will move to the border and take care of it when I'm elected. And I'm telling you, there would be such an uproar, and there's tremendous numbers of people would come together. Even Mexican American citizens that hate this illegal alien stuff, they would come together and there would be, and then all the radical Auslanders, they'd come. There'd probably be a war, and that'd be good.
Yeah.
But I believe he could walk into that state house no problem. But he's got to hit the immigration. Forget all the rest of that bullshit and talk illegal aliens.
But you know that 187. A lot of people don't know it, that it even passed, it is even carried among the Mexican population. Even the Mexicans voted for 187.
Well, you know how that goes. Once you're in and get your thing, the first thing you want to do is say, I don't want anybody else in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's like people who join a church, you know. Mm-hmm. They become the most rabid advocate of that church once they get in, you know. So, anyhow, well, I wonder how long it's going to take for them to dig out the Duke connection with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I think something's up. I don't think they will.
I don't think they will either. Mm-hmm. I think even Matt Drudge, he knows about it, but he hasn't talked about it either.
Well, whenever they want something, they get it. So I think that, you know, there's something going on. Like you say, I think
this is a weird situation.
I think they're trying to alter the Republican Party or do something with it. He's a liberal Republican, a very, very liberal Republican.
Well, I don't think he's going to hit the immigration issue.
No.
That's the only way he can win.
No.
And he's a shill of some type. And I'd like to know exactly who talked him into the last minute running.
Yeah.
Now, you know his wife didn't want him to run because she's a liberal Democrat, and it embarrasses the Kennedys.
Yeah.
And who in the hell... They must have promised him something or did something.
Yeah.
I can't think he said...
Maybe blackmailed him. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why they won't bring up the Duke thing, because they blackmailed
him. Well, hell, they're calling him a Nazi anyhow. What the hell's the problem?
But this would be actually absolute proof. The other is just stuff about his father and indirect things. But
maybe...
Having Duke over your apartment.
maybe. Or staying at your house and so forth, teaching him how to lift weights and all that. Well, I don't know, but I can't believe Arnold's that dumb. Maybe he's worried about salvaging his film career, but he should have thought about that before he even run.
Yeah.
Because they'll look at every piece of money he's got, every piece of property. They got reporters out there 24 hours a day now trying to find dirt on him.
Yeah.
You know. Well, what do we care? let him self-destruct. The Republican Party, I think it'd be good to get the Republican Party out of the way in California, and then us radicals and the radicals on the other side could bump heads.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
I ain't shitting you. I'm ready.
You got your head shaved to bump.
And I'm not going out there as long as they got them damn buffer Republicans in between us.
Yeah.
I want it to be a head-on clash, man.
Yeah.
I want to see muzzle-loading, firing, shooting, and everything. Man, I'll tell you.
Burritos.
Whoa! I'm not going to stop it, Jerry. Just shut up and get back in the cage. And tell your grandpa to shut up, too. We got to do something about that goddamn Jew we keep in that cage over there. Have we done any more brain studies on him?
I don't think he's got any brains left.
Well, we got a half of his skull taken out so we can put those electrodes in. I'm trying to get him to Sieg Heil. I got him to do it once or twice, but you got to put a lot of voltage into his brain to get him to do that.
A lot of oysters.
Oh, okay.
Speedy recovery for John. While on the subject, I'd like to ask Dr. Kaldenberg why you think white people suffer rare types of cancers and diseases. I never hear about Asians or never hear about Hispanics or blacks suffering any of these rare cancers that seem to afflict whites. Thanks.
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is in third world countries, they don't have as good medical care, and even in the United States, non-whites really don't have the best of doctors. And I think that non-whites actually do suffer all these rare cancers, except since they don't have good doctors, the doctors don't detect them. And the white people go to the best doctors, and the really rare stuff is hard to find, so only the best doctors can find it. Like if you go to, you know, La Jolla or some good cancer clinic out there, then you'll find more diseases.
I think mm-hmm. that it's got a lot to do with our chemicals and our food and all that that a lot of times the third world people don't have. And I think that, you know, there's a book I've got by this doctor who was a doctor in Vietnam mm-hmm. During the war, and he was in charge of doing autopsies on the troops when they were killed and also autopsies on Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he said he was cutting open young Marines that had been killed and finding early stages of hardening of the arteries and all these problems in 20-year-old kids.
Mm-hmm.
But he said he was opening up these Vietnamese who'd been drinking this shitty water out of the paddies, and they didn't have any signs of hardening of their arteries at all.
Yeah.
Now, his conclusion was that it was the chlorine in the water that's done it, because they'd started chlorinating the water back in about the 20s or back in there, and all of a sudden then cancer and all this shit was on the rise. He makes a pretty good case for chlorine. That's why I recommend you put filters on everything possible. Now, I don't have them on my shower, but I'd like to get them on my shower, too, because they say, you know, your skin is the biggest organ in your body that absorbs things. And so I think that, and then the Japanese, they smoke like fiends.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen people smoke like in Japan,
and
they have a very low cancer rate.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of it's in that. Of course, like you say, there's very poor record. There's poor record keeping in a lot of these countries.
Like, even in the United States, you know, a lot of times when a black guy dies, he just dies. But if it's a white guy, you know, usually their whole family's put all their money to get him to go to the best every doctor they can, and they have a good record. But you know, black people, you know, whatever the welfare department will pay for it, or if they have a you know, they're paying for themselves. They really don't go to a lot of different doctors. So.
Well, I think you're seeing those statistics change a lot because they're coming out all the time and saying black people suffer from more of heart disease percentage-wise and all this kind of stuff. And then they try to blame it on racism and everything else. And then you've got sickle cell anemia with the blacks, and then you've got the Mediterranean's disease with some of the Italians, and you've got the Tay-Sachs disease with the Jews and all that kind of stuff. So I think the statistics are out there more than you think if you dig for them. Yeah.
Sieg Heil. Tommy.
Hey, thanks, Tom. And Wyatt, that was probably one of the funniest shows you've done in a while. It's Robert here from San Antonio. Hey, the movie you guys were talking about with Charlton Heston was called The Omega Man. It came out in 1971. And, yeah, it was a pretty interesting movie. But anyway, good show this week. Really? Really, really funny, and as usual, you guys, you cut through all the spin and everything else, and you guys tell it exactly like it is. Take care.
Yeah, I hope John made okay with his gallbladder. Wish him well. And when are we going to take a trip over to Moscow, Wyatt? We'll take a trip over to Eastern Bloc. I'm just going to Larian Tour. We'll bring TT with us. Rick.
Well, when are we going to Russia there, big boy?
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm either going to go to Disney World or Russia or Rome.
Well,
Greece.
Well, I'm working on Russia because I think I could make a hit over there because it's a working class and the super rich.
Yeah.
And you don't have to talk to all this middle class stuff.
Yeah.
So they're ready to listen.
Oh, yeah. And unlike England, they're actually a revolutionary country.
They're ready to go. Those Russians, I like those Russians.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. And as soon as I can get over there and give a speech, man, That'll be great.
Except I don't think I want to make the same mistake Napoleon and Hitler did as going in the winter.
Well, you got to go as a friend, not an enemy.
No, but in the winter.
In the
bad
winter?
Winters.
Well, hell, I've been through some pretty rough winters. Yeah. Hell, I've been in Chicago when it was colder than Moscow.
But I've never been in Chicago when it's colder than Moscow.
Well, you got plenty of insulation there,
well,
man.
True.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I'm getting ready, I think, for another tour of Japan.
Yeah.
Going over there and talking to those Japanese nationalists.
Whoa.
They keep their blood pretty pure, that's
oh,
for
yeah.
sure. And I'll tell you, they treat us with a lot of respect, and they have a high regard for white racists over there. Hell, they treat a white racist right over there because they can't understand why we don't clean all this nigger population out. They don't understand it. So anyhow, we may be going over there again one of these days. Of course, a lot of the right wing say, what are you going over there with those Asians for? Well, those Asians, hell, I'll tell you what. They kept their race together a hell of a lot better than we have.
Yeah.
And the Japanese, hell, they don't even want the Koreans around.
Oh, yeah.
They look almost like the Japanese.
Well, Shintoism is pretty cool. That's like Odinism for Japanese people.
Well, yes.
Yeah,
Shinto.
Like
I think Shintoism is great, you know. And I was initiated into the Shinto temple ceremonies.
Oh, cool.
Aha, and I'll bet you haven't been initiated into the Odin temple ceremonies.
Well, yes, I have.
But I was closer to it through Shintoism. I had the high priest and the big temple there in Tokyo.
Well, I'd like to go to Japan just to see the temples and stuff.
Yeah.
Don't they have one for kamikaze pilots and stuff like
that? Well, they have the museum there, and they show you all this stuff. You know, they melt down. They go all over the islands, and they found all these crashed Japanese Zeros and planes. They melt down all the metal, and they make tie clasp, and then they're worth their little lotus bud on it. And they gave me one of those, too. So you got to hand it to the Japanese. They were very strong and patriotic and nationalist and racist, you know. So
it makes sense.
It made sense to me, too. Except, you see, Roosevelt, he's saying he's going to cut off their oil if they didn't stay out of China. Well, fuck Roosevelt. The Japanese want China. Why should we care?
Oh, yeah.
The Japanese would have been real good friends of ours in the Far East, you know. They would never have attacked Pearl Harbor. But you paint a man into a corner. You know, this country does it all the time. Look at Iraq now.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we'll get you. We're going to take you. We're the strongest country in the world. And now they're getting their ass kicked. Yeah.
Tommy, this is Mr. X up here in Seattle. And there's a book that's out now on the New York Times bestseller list. I believe it's number 6 right now at any local bookstore. It's called Under the Banner of Heaven. It's mainly about Mormon fundamentalists. Anyway, this guy, this Jewish guy from Corvallis, Oregon, published this book out, and I went to his hearing up here, or his little book reading and the book signing up here in Liberal Seattle, and gave him went to the microphone and gave him a little bit of my opinion. You know, he was telling how terrible these Mormon fundamentalists are, and you know how many people they've killed in their far off little towns and villages, and how much suppression they do to their women and stuff. Oh, you know, they could be the next Timothy McVeigh and all this. He's going on and on about these Mormon fundamentalists, and I told him, hey.
Well, you ought to know all about that.
Yeah, I know about that book, too. You know, John Singer was a Mormon fundamentalist, and he went to get his mail in the late 70s, and the Jack Mormon Church of Salt Lake City, they don't like the Maverick Mormons. So they sent the police down there, and they shot him when he was getting his mail.
Murdered him.
Yeah, right in front of his house.
Sure.
With his kids and stuff.
Yeah, so we know all about that. Well,
that book is so much full of shit. I mean, they go out of their way. And one thing, too, is they talk about Elizabeth Smart. You know, Elizabeth Smart was kidnapped by that street crazy. And since he was from Utah, automatically they have to tie him into Mormon fundamentalism, which the guy had nothing to do with.
No, he wasn't Mormon at all.
No, he was just some nut on the street. You know, the downtown San Diego's full of nuts thinking they're Jesus. But just like what they do with any kind of actually, because they're white and they're polygamists and they don't race mix, automatically they're the devil of America. So if it was, like I say, if it was Somalis or something, there was polygamists and stuff, they wouldn't say, oh, those Muslims really mistreat their women.
Yeah,
or
right.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, it was all bullshit, exaggerated and stuff. Like, you know, like I say, they blame the Elizabeth Smart case on him. John Singer got murdered getting his own mail, and somehow that was a Mormon crime, which is pretty bizarre.
Yeah, well, it seems to me that over the years, whether you agree with the religion or not, they have in the past, not now, but in the past, have kept white in some really good white jeans.
Well, the Maverick Mormons are really good. The Jack Mormons, which is that stinking church in Salt Lake City, those are fuck up. But there's like Judeo-Christians.
Well,
they used to be good at one time, but now, I mean, like my parents get all their shit, and they say that now the majority of Mormons are black because the biggest recruiting area is Africa.
Well, they love the Jews too.
Oh yeah. Well,
remember Cleon Skousen, yeah. That ex-FBI guy who wrote The Naked Communist?
Oh yeah.
He was a Jew.
Well, he was also tied into the Mormon church.
Well, yeah.
They were passing around the church like it was the Bible. Oh, I remember that in the early 60s before Kennedy got whacked.
Well, they tell me you go in that big temple up
tabernacle.
There, the Masonic symbols all over the place in that tabernacle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the thing is Mormon church now is just a big old race mix. Well, you know, like I say, is like the real kind of conservative Mormons that are even with the Jack Mormon church, they don't race mix, but all the New Age ones and stuff. A lot of times when you see them around town, they got two guys on a bicycle, one Mexican and one white guy. You know, they got their white shirts in there.
Oh,
ties,
hell, down here?
Ties.
Are you kidding?
Yeah.
They're knocking on every mestizo door trying to recruit them.
Yeah, when I was a little kid, you know, the big thing was you were supposed to have five kids. You know, that was kind of like the average family supposed to be. I knew families that had like 11 kids and stuff. And one thing we really need is a fucking church telling Mexicans they ought to have more kids. You know?
But between the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons around here, you can hardly get down the sidewalk.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering when they're going to start warring against each other.
Oh, yeah.
They got all these poor dumb Mexicans out there, the Jehovah's Witnesses, in suits, hotter than hell, going up and down the street, holding the Bible, stopping these pickers along the street, talking to them. What a bunch of crap. And then you got these, one day I confronted some of those Mormon guys that come by. In a friendly manner, I said, what the hell are you guys doing out here? You're young, you're white, you should be out here looking for good-looking women, and you're pissing around with this nonsense. And, boy, their eyes got big and everything.
Oh, I like that time when those two ladies from the Mormon church, my mom always sick them. Every time I move around, she sicks them on me. She gives them my address and stuff, so they can't be down fucking ward teachers. And I was in the bathtub, and this is like the umpteenth million time they're banging on my door. So finally what I did, I just got out of the bathtub, walked to the door, and started talking to them naked.
Yeah.
So I was just talking to them about Jesus. And they were trying like motherfuckers not to look down at my... Well, one of them was like a teenager, an old middle-aged lady and a teenage girl. They were trying very hard not to look at my body when they were telling me about Jesus. So I was just sitting there with a straight face talking to them about the church and stuff and water dripping down off me.
I hear a lot of people do that, you know. I've heard a lot of guys even on the radio say
they don't know how to react.
Yeah, I remember that talk show guy Tom Likas up in L.A. Mm-hmm. used to talk about going to the door naked.
Yeah.
Well, they don't even come around here anymore.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have to go
naked.
Well,
actually, the last time I went naked to the door and talked to them, that's the last time that they came after me.
Well,
I guess they probably on the little list that tell the war teachers not to come around anymore.
Well, then the Jehovah's Witnesses, when I was able to show them, they'd come to the door. I said, don't you know that the man who created your church was a 33rd degree Mason? And he's buried under a monument that's a pyramid.
Mm-hmm.
And you talk about secret societies and you don't believe in that stuff. Well, the guy that founded your church was into secret societies. Yeah. Come on. Anyhow, I tend to support almost any break-off kiss-my-ass group. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though I don't agree with them.
Well, like I say, the Mavericks, they're the good Mormons.
Right.
They're the real Mormons, and the Jack Mormons and that fucking Salt Lake City tabernacle, they're bastards.
Well, whenever it always becomes a power play in a business deal.
Yeah.
It turns into big business,
and
half the FBI's Mormons are used to being all that. So, no, they're always cults, and it always turns into money. That's why I reject religion, and I'm watching you, because when you get big and become the big priest and the high muckety-muck of the Odinist movement, I'm watching you very carefully.
Religions are good as long as they're fanatic and they keep true to their fanaticism.
Yeah, but... Even
the Amish, they're pacifists, but they're not a bunch of racists.
But you got to keep on internally having a power struggle all the time to keep it pure.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, you'll get conservative,
and
then it's the money, and it's a whole bit. And you'll be riding around a damn Lincoln Continental.
Well, the thing is, it's always the reformers. The guys who want to reform things are always the reform is you basically deform it and take it down. Like the Mormon Church is actually the anti-Mormon Church now. You know,
because
it has nothing to do with real teachers of the Mormon. Like I say, the minute they got rid of polygamy and stuff, you might as well just shut down the church.
If you don't mind, Doctor, I'll remain being an atheist.
That's all right.
I feel very comfortable. But I like Odin.
Yeah, me too.
But I don't want too many people in between him and me.
Bus, that's Lithuanian for hello. I was very pleased to read about Lithuanian paganism in the recent war paper. I guess Wyatt wrote that. And yes, they were the last pagans in Europe, not the Swedes or the Icelandics. And there's a lot of good information out there, most of it in Lithuania. For example, Perkūnas is the Thor equivalent. You know, there's some differences. He has a double-sided axe instead of a hammer, and his symbol is the X, what would be the Gable rune. Very interesting stuff, and doesn't get enough exposure. So just wanted to say, nice article there. Take care.
Yeah, he's right. Like, I know that Davison wrote a book called Norse Mythology, and he says in there, like in parts of Poland, that in the 1600s, Wotanism was so strong that Christians couldn't go out to the countryside. There's pagan robber gangs would rob them and kill them and stuff.
Jump on those Jesus people!
So the Jesus freaks of Poland had to stay in the city.
Why?
So.
Yahweh is going to get their ass.
Yeah. So, like I say, up to the 1600s and stuff, the countryside and a lot of Slavic areas was still controlled by paganism. And Guido von Liss, he wrote a book called A Heraldry in the Runes. And he went through all the pagan clans. Like, you know, heraldry, like every country had a different system for heraldry. And in Poland, they went by the clans and stuff. And each clan had a different rune marker because they had these home stones and they'd put runes. And, you know whoever's land it was, you know, they'd mark their territory so the other clans would stay out. And so they took their rune markers on the stones and they put them on their heraldry. And, you know, even if they had like a lion or a wolf or something, a lot of times they'd have them shaped in the runic symbol of their clan and stuff.
Oh.
So he wrote a whole book about Poland and heraldry and stuff. It's pretty cool.
Well, bringing it up to modern times, you know, George Lincoln Rockwell's big supporters in Chicago were the Lithuanians and the
Estonians
and all those people. They were the ones who were throwing money at him on the Great Cicero March and threw money at him and flowers and everything else, and that's when they evidently decided that he's going to have to be done away with, you know. So, I know a lot of those people from back there, and I'm trying, who was that guy? Wasn't from Chicago, Joseph Dilles.
Oh, yeah.
He is probably dead now, but he was...
He was a really lone wolf. He'd just go out in the street corner with signs.
He was in his 70s, back in his 70s, and I mean, he used to go out and have big signs about the Jews and wade right into their stuff, man. I couldn't figure out how he stayed alive.
Oh, yeah. This little old man just walked by himself up to him, up to the reds and stuff with signs.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure he was Lithuanian or Estonian, one of those. And I went to see him one time, visited him in Chicago, and he was a nice, real nice old man. And you know that Chicago is a funny area, you know, at that time, every outfit had their own area, you know. Every one block would be Lithuanian, one would be Estonian, one would be this, one would be that. And the niggers, they were way down here.
Yeah.
And I remember one time I went there to do a television show, Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to this hotel, and I liked country western. So I said, hey, where can I go to a country western bar around here? And I was in downtown Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I said, he'd probably say 50 miles out in the country. He said, oh, it's just a few blocks down here, one of the biggest country western places in Chicago. Oh, okay, so I got in a cab, and I kept going, and all the nigger neighborhoods. Then all of a sudden, after about five or six blocks, we went across, all white.
Yeah.
All white. These people were so segregated, it was unbelievable. And they still segregate as much as possible there in Chicago. But old Mr. Dilley's, I have a lot of respect for that old man. He did 100 times more than almost any of these so-called, what do you call them, sofa warriors?
Armchair revolutionaries.
Armchair revolutionaries, yep.
I need to get the flashlight for Johnny Rockets. Hey, we always read all this shit about Nazis and all this shit. I used to have all the flashlights on.
Well, that was our mystery guest there.
That was Mickey. Mickey
was
Mouse.
That Mickey Mouse?
What the hell was he talking about? Flashlights and the bunkhouse?
Well, that sounded like that Massachusetts boy that's been harassed us on the phone machine. Yeah.
Oh, was that?
Yeah. He broke down crying there.
Yeah.
He must have had a little too much to drink
there. Who was he talking about dying then?
Well, I talked about, I don't know who in the hell he was talking about. But anyhow, that's for you, boy. Yep, that was Quincy's guest appearance.
Oh, really?
It didn't last long, did it?
No, it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah, something about John Loftus, the Nazi hunter, and his father, and somebody died, and he started crying, and I don't know what the hell was wrong.
You know Snoop Doggy Dogg is that rap singer, right?
Yeah, I know.
Anyway, you know, a few weeks ago, he got busted on this black awards because some of his posse had guns, and he hired people that had gun permits, and he's a convicted felon, and that's illegal.
Well, every posse should have guns.
Yeah, but it's illegal. The point is illegal, and they didn't really not going to do it to him. Now he's made this film, Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah.
Snoopy Dogg's Girls Gone Wild. Well, anyway, they found out that two of the girls there were like 14-year-old girls,
oh.
And he gave them pot and ecstasy to get undressed for his camera. And any normal guy would be in prison now for not only giving kids drugs, but having kids stripped for camera and selling for profit.
Yeah.
But I doubt if they'll do anything to old Snoop.
Well, you see, that what the non-whites have learned is that white man can make all the laws he wants. They just don't obey him at all.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you find out around here all the time now with the Mexicans. They got leash laws. They have dog laws.
Oh, yeah.
They don't obey him. They just do what the hell they want to. And only whiteys try to obey the law.
Well, the thing is, too, is if a black breaks the law, they make sure they get a black juror, and black jury's all going to go with them and stuff, or you only need one of them there. You get a white jury, and they all have to be patriotic Americans to show that they're against prejudice, they're against racism, so they'll convict your fucking ass.
Well, never get any civil servant, retired civil service or military, anything like that, whites on your jury.
Oh,
You're better off to have white, black street thugs on your jury. And don't ever get black maids and things like that.
Yeah.
Because they identify with their bosses.
Yeah.
Most of them do.
Aunt Jemima's.
Look, I will take, if I don't have any other choice, I'll take a black gangbanger on the jury before I will most whites.
Oh, yeah, they understand what bastard the cops are.
Well, hell, when I was on trial in L.A., it was the non-whites that let me free.
Oh,
it wasn't the three or four white women, they wanted to hang my ass.
Oh, yeah, especially white women, middle-class white women. I mean, they will kiss ass to the system like you won't believe because that's in their biology.
Yeah, so Snoopy Dooby Dog is still out, huh?
Oh, they won't do anything to him. He's rich, he's a nigger.
Well, what the hell's the matter with the white people? They could do something. What the hell's the matter with these people? These people can be bumped off very easily, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Well, that's the problem, is they're not.
Huh? I watch it here. The FBI is listening to everything we say. So,
but
put that gun away, will you?
A lot of white people are just scum of the earth that should never have been born.
Well, they're not anything. To call them scum gives them identity.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah,
they're just nothing.
Yeah, scum is better than
they're them. Nothing. You're going to give them identity if you call them scum. So they
give them
are.
Credit.
They're like something. they're like a dollar bill with no printing on it.
Oh,
they're worthless. Well, let's get off this Snoopy Dog crap.
Well, you see Mars out there?
Mars, where's he at?
Out in the night sky, man. Nice and red, orange.
Oh, in the night sky?
Yeah, that's the closest Mars has been to Earth for 60,000 years.
Wow, well, I missed it. Last
time it was this close, it was Neanderthal, man. Even Cro-Magnon man was here.
Well, if I missed it, then I got to wait 60,000 years?
Yeah, get out right now. You can see it right
now.
Oh,
I better.
Big and bright.
I got
it. Oh, and then this week they had a big meteor shower. It was a full moon, and Mars was extremely close. It was a wonderful week.
Well, that reminds me. It's been a week since I took a shower. It's about time, don't you think?
Yeah,
Hey, look, now, I missed that red planet.
Well, you can see it tonight.
Can I see it tonight?
Damn right.
Where do I look?
Up in the sky, you'll notice it.
Up in the sky, the big-ass place.
Well, you look at this little shiny thing that's nice and red and orange.
Yeah.
And if it's smaller than the moon.
I know some little things that are nice and red and
smaller
orange.
Smaller than the moon, and bigger than the stars, that'll be Mars.
Oh, is it above the moon?
It depends on what time of day it is.
Now, don't get complicated on me.
Just look up in the fucking sky, and you'll see something orange.
Okay, I'm going to walk out there and lay on my back tonight and look up
you
there.
You won't be able to miss it.
I won't be able to miss it?
Nope.
The god of war, right?
Well, actually,
Mars.
You know, in the ancient days, they would think that it was a big omen because you got the full moon, you got the Mars, the planet of war. Even the Norse considered Tyr's planet.
Well, it is an omen.
It is
We're
going to
kick their
and
ass.
A meteorite shower, which is another omen. All this stuff was going on weeks, and they would decide it was time to declare war.
Well, that's what we should be doing right now against these non-whites, man.
Goddamn right.
Once you see that red thing in the sky above the moon, we got to go to war.
Yeah.
Okay.
Consider it won't be back again this close for another 60,000 years, and hopefully we'll be around then.
I don't think I can hold my breath that long.
I'll be around.
Whoa. I'm not going to dwell on this, Doctor, but we got some of these people that are trying to... Boy, they're having a hell of a time with these membership organizations.
Oh.
They're being torn apart from the inside and torn apart from the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we predicted all this.
Oh, yeah.
And I just backed off of it. I don't want to really talk about it anymore because, there's skullduggery on both sides. And there's people... The Southern Poverty Law Center is just thrilled to death to see these organizations self-destruct. Then you got, you know, that psycho Tubby up there. He's all excited about destroying something. And,
yeah, I read something where he wrote is a member of the National Alliance, supposedly, but then you looked at the email, yeah. And it was his email, was it?
Yeah,
I think,
yeah.
I think a lot of people would be fooled about this.
It's too bad. It's too bad in a lot of ways, but unfortunately, I told you people that, you know, like with the demise of Pierce, that mm-hmm. This would start imploding because they'll fight over every damn little thing.
Well, I think it'd be better off if the National Alliance is broke down to 100 little organizations.
Well, I think... It'd be
harder for the FBI to infiltrate.
I'm not telling them how to operate. I just give my opinion, but I tell you one thing, that if they had 100 little outfits that were hardcore, they'd be a lot better. But then they'd be lone wolf and cell structure.
Exactly.
They'd be like war.
Exactly.
Why, hell, they don't want to be like war because we're just unwashed peasants out here.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Well... I sort of read that stuff, but I ain't going to get involved.
Oh, a lot of the stuff. You know, some of the stuff, you know, it's coming from, you know, like the FBI or D's people.
Oh, back. Yeah.
And the other stuff is just fucking malcontents in the movement.
Yeah, and then all they think about is rumors, rumors. They spend all day on rumors. Even one of these radio shows that one of our friends put on, all they do is get on there and talk about this thing. And, you know, who wants to hear all that crap? Yeah. You don't want to hear, this is getting great. We're going to win. We're going to whip their ass, and the conditions are all coming around in our favor. We got Mars right up there. It's a sign.
Yeah.
It's a sign. And what are these guys griping about and whining? We're losing. What the hell? We got Arnie the Nazi on our side.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to sweep into power and solve all our troubles, right?
And blood red Mars.
And I want to be his executioner,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I might have to start lifting weights again.
Arnie the Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, I'm going to make a comeback.
Whoa.
Okay.
I've been watching The Sopranos lately. You
hey,
ever watched that?
I didn't know you were Italian.
I'm not, but I sure like the mob.
You like the mob?
They're pretty cool.
I don't know. They seem like they fight a lot amongst themselves.
Well, a lot of movement.
And they got all the broads and stuff.
The thing
in
they
there
whack
too.
People. You know, they had a Harold Covington. They'd just get whacked in a couple of days.
Oh man, I'm telling you, I like that. I don't like series though. I don't like these things.
Oh really?
Tune in next week. God damn it! I want it all right now.
Well, it's funny.
I watched The Godfather 15 times, man.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Last week, I guess, I had a rerun, and his daughter, he came home, you know, Tony Soprano, the mob guy, came home, and his daughter was on the couch with a nigger, you know, like a fucking eggplant.
On The Sopranos?
Yeah. And so Tony had a big talk with him. He goes, listen, Buckwheat, you better get going and stuff like that. And his daughter got all upset because he was giving him a big talk about making out, you know, having Sambo sticking her tongue down her throat and stuff like that. You know, it's funny because just to make Tony Soprano evil, I know they do that lots of gangster movies. They make them racist so that way it emphasizes their wickedness.
Yeah.
But they did that a lot of them.
But remember with, what was that comedy show with Archie Bunker?
Oh, yeah, Archie Bunker, yeah.
You know how many people identified with Archie Bunker? I think 40% of the country liked Archie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that movie, what was it, Goodfellas?
Oh,
Goodfellas, yeah. They'd always had the gangsters say nigger and kike and stuff just to make them evil.
Yeah, then so they could get away with it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
That's the way I get away with it. You know those British guys, did I tell you about those British BBC guys that stupid Jew Thoreau came over here, that Louis, and he was right in here, we were talking, I was saying nigger, and he said, I wish you wouldn't say nigger in front of me, and we were on camera.
Uh-huh.
And I said, hey, this is my house, and God damn it, I'll say nigger anytime I please.
No, sure.
He stood there with this blank look on. I don't think anybody ever told him like that.
Yeah.
We were only 4 inches away.
Yeah.
He's looking at me with that blank stare, the camera's rolling, and I'm smiling. Hey, when you're in my house, you're going to hear nigger.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty bizarre that they expect their political correctness bullshit to go inside your home and stuff.
Here's a guy doing a documentary telling me what to talk, how to talk, you know, and I went through it 15 times with Bob Matthews. And, well, they killed old, what's his name from Denver?
Berg. They iced Berg.
Do you agree with that? I said, well, I don't know. I probably wouldn't have killed him because he was low on the totem pole, but if they did it, they had a good reason. Well, do you really mean that? I said, hell yes. And he kept going back and said, do you really support that? And I said, hell yes. He was slime. And, you know, they just didn't know how to take me. I know they go around to these right-wingers. They say, you know, these guys are burning crosses and tell them they're not racist, you know, a lot of them. Hell, if McVeigh, I got a big painting of McVeigh on my wall.
Mm-hmm.
Why, would you support McVeigh? I said, hell yes, I'd support McVeigh. Oh, man, all those innocent people. I said, they're working for the Iron Heel. Get out of those damn buildings. Well, what if one of your kids was in that building? I said, first of all, I would tell her not to work in a government building. Yeah. Get out of there, no matter who they are. But then if it happened, it's war, and that's the problem. Oh, my God. You know, you'd have thought it was terrible. I thought he was going to run out of the room screaming.
I heard you watched the Dennis Leary roast the other day on Comedy Central.
You know, I like that guy, and, you know, comedians are right out with it, you know, and there's so much political and racial stuff by stand-up comedians.
Yeah.
Why, hell, they had that DiPaolo guy, and I think I mentioned it last week, as a comedian that sort of was promoted by Leary, and he's become pretty popular stand-up comedian, and they're up there saying, yeah, he's a racist, and he's an anti-Semite, and he's anti-gay and homo and everything, and he's sitting over there just smiling. He didn't deny shit. And then what did he say about that Denmark deal?
Oh, I was watching the Colin Quinn thing, and there was a black comedian on there, and he was saying that, you know, because I guess Ashcroft is going after the pornography and stuff, and he says, well, it's ridiculous. Let's take Denmark. This is the black guy talking. Let's take Denmark, for example. They got the most liberal drug laws over there and the most liberal pornography over there in the Western world. And they have a low crime rate. And this one white guy goes, yeah, that's because there's no niggers over there.
Well, I took a break the other night. I sat down there, and my lady friend, she had put on Being There with Peter Sellers.
Remember? Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
Oh, so funny about the rich people, about the politicians.
Well, I like one of his comments. I remember when he's the first time he's in a car, and he says, this is just like television. It's a television that moves when you drive around in that car.
Oh, yeah, people, get it. If you haven't watched that movie, Being There, get it, because in the last scene, he walks on water.
Oh, yeah.
They're going to make him president.
Oh, yeah. I remember he was on, like, that Johnny Carson-type show, and he was a gardener.
Yeah.
And they were asking him what his economic policy was, and he was talking about gardening and stuff, and they were taking everything he said as a metaphor, and they were reinterpreting it. And, you know, like the Johnny Carson guy, like Peter Sellers would say something, and Johnny Carson would reinterpret it into an economic policy.
Well, then they had the big financial magazines interviewing him and stuff. And on the president gets it, but he said, well, you got to water the flowers, and then the spring comes, and then
and
the
then
fall.
And you weed out.
And they thought he was a genius.
Yeah.
Well, it's about that time the clock on the walls come around there, doctor.
Yeah, the clock on the wall says 2 o'clock.
What are we going to say? Now, look, I'm going to close out this show with a little of my favorite racist nigger-talking comedian.
Whoa, the same guy you began
with? They say Paul Mooney or whatever. Yeah. But anyhow, he's funnier than hell, but you hardly
ever... nigger frog.
He said, right. So, how are you going to close out?
Goodbye.
I thought you'd say happy trail.
Happy trail.
Whoa, God, don't start that stuff again.
Deal with it. I got over it. How come white people see things that other minorities don't see? White folks see all kinds of shit. UFOs. Monsters. The Loch Ness Monster. Bottomless Snowman. Bigfoot. Square Toe. Little Pussy. You see all kinds of shit. I want one nigga to see one monster and be on the 6 o'clock news. I saw it. I saw the monster. I saw the cornbread monster. He had great big old black eyed eyes. Greens and shit hanging out his back. Let us see some shit just once. And don't mention UFOs. The white people shaking their heads. You know that's a damn truth. You guys see UFOs in your goddamn sleep. And you know everybody relates to you because white folks always talking that shit. You're so goddamn dramatic with this shit. Because you'll cry at the drop of a hat.
You have to believe us. You have to believe us. We would vacation.
We just don't see the shit y'all see. It's too funny to me. Thank God Paul Revere was white because we wouldn't be sitting here now. Because if he'd have been black, somebody would have shot that nigga. Oh, that nigga stole that horse. They just shot Paul with it. Hey, brother, who do the white people say sold the flag? Who's this white woman supposed to sold the flag? Betsy Ross. Is that a bitch? Now, come on. They had slaves. That bitch was asleep at 6. You know some big, fat, black ass man was up all night sewing that flag. Oh, child, Lord have mercy. I just sewing this flag. I'm just up so late, honey, I see stars. Well, bitch, put them in the flag and fry me some chicken. And as soon as the white men got there, the white lady jumped up. See what I did? And they don't want to give black people credit. They don't want to give us any credit. They just want to blame everything on niggas. Didn't some white man in Boston shoot his pregnant wife and then shot himself to my, oh, niggas did it. Always trying to blame some niggas. And they believed the shit. So the brother couldn't take it or something, and he could jumped off a fucking bridge, right? Then they told. Then I've been always trying to blame a goddamn nigga. That's why I'm gonna start a new ad. 900, blame a nigga. So when white folks get in trouble, just call my agency. Blame a nigga. I just pushed my mother down the stairs. I don't want to go to jail. Send a nigga over here. All right, I got one on parole. I'll send him right over, ma'am. Hello, blame a nigga. I just ran my car in a tree. My whole family dead. I don't want to be blamed. Get a nigga. Here we got one here with a bad driving record. I'll send him right over. Oh, thank you. Thank you. God bless you, blame a nigga. Thank God the Titanic only had white folks. Because you know they let niggas in. Blame the nigga, you know that. All the white survivors. It wasn't that white iceberg. It was niggers. I heard them singing while we were sinking. I heard them. Old man river. That old. You know, they will let white folks make a movie about any goddamn thing. Look at Hollywood. Scissorhands, give me a fucking break. Somebody is on crack. Somebody's smoking a pipe at the studio. Somebody at the studio is smoking crack. Scissorhands, throw mama from the train. Only white folks can throw their mama from a damn train, and it's a hit fucking movie. Ain't that some crazy shit? Throw mama from the goddamn... What's the other thing?